Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Today is the official start of the lame duck period of the 98th state legislature. A lot of us remember the frenetic pace of lame duck in 2012 when state lawmakers passed something like 300 bills in that holiday season, including right to work and a new emergency manager law to replace the one that voters had just repealed, with an appropriation carefully attached to make sure it could never be repealed again. Let's look at what's on this year's lame duck to-do list as we say hello to Zach Gorchow of Gangwon News Service.
Great to be here. Thank you.
I'm wondering, with the House and Senate maintaining their Republican majorities, is there a slightly more relaxed approach to lame duck this year or not?
Well, you're not going to see the all-out craziness that you would have seen had the Democrats won control of the House. But there are probably between 24 to 36 major bill packages that have had work done on them in the prior 20 months that are going to come to fruition now. And there's going to be a lot of activity, maybe not DEFCON 1, but it's going to be a lot of activity.
Now, you've got some kind of breaking news today we're going to start out with happening in the Senate regarding economic tax development. What's going on?
Well, that's right. You know, for basically 5-6 years, the operating philosophy of the Snyder administration has been to not use tax incentives. We've gotten rid of almost all of them in favor of a lower overall tax climate. Well, legislation that is expected to see a vote on the Senate floor today, kind of out of nowhere, with the governor's blessing, would allow a certain number of businesses each year to receive a substantial tax incentive for creating new jobs. So basically, if a business were to create at least 500 new jobs, it could apply to the state and get to keep all of the income tax revenues it would otherwise withhold from employees' paychecks. And instead of sending that to the state, they'd get to keep it. The total amount in any at any given point that could be abated is $250 million. That's a big chunk of money, and this is a big break in philosophy if it actually becomes law. And right now it looks like it's on the fast track.
And something else that's been kind of circling around and certainly on the agenda for lame duck, brownfield development incentives. Tell us what's happening. This is something that I know the likes of Dan Gilbert would very much like to see.
Right. You have a number of communities, downtown areas, that feel like they need more economic development tools, per se, to start large projects, Dan Gilbert among them. This legislation would allow these developers to keep a certain percentage of tax revenues that would otherwise go to something called downtown development authorities. Many communities have what's called a downtown development authority, and those entities capture taxes that would otherwise go for other purposes to use in the downtowns, perhaps for beautification, perhaps for major projects. The new Red Wings and Pistons Arena in Detroit is largely a creation of the Downtown Development Authority there. So this would create a pretty substantial revenue stream for what are called these large catalytic projects. The governor's office, they're noncommittal on this one so far, but we expect changes, and there's likely to be a vote in the Senate today, at least this week.
Now, a lot of observers are putting their money on energy as being very up there at the top of the must-do list between now and December 15th. What are your thoughts?
It looks like it's going to happen. Basically, as long as the Democrats in the House, that's where the bill is now, it's passed the Senate, are on board with increasing the state's mandate for renewable fuels to supply 15% of energy for each utility, as long as they feel like increasing it from 10% to 15% is sufficient, it looks like the votes will be there, that they'll be able to use those Democratic votes combined with perhaps half of the Republican caucus to get the bill done. You still have a large number of Republicans who do not like this bill. They see it as damaging to choice for customers among utilities. But it looks like the utilities have made enough of a case that they need the various provisions this legislation would do to allow them to create new power plants. And then the Democrats, if they can get what they want on the environment, it looks like it'll happen.
And when we consider that we haven't had our energy policy updated since 2008, I guess we can see why it made it through the Senate. But as you're saying, you're kind of watching in the House in those Democratic votes.
Well, the Democrats could always try to hold out for more. The risk is, and this is why I think it happens this time, is this is their best chance for a deal. The next House of Representatives that comes in is even more free market oriented. You may have a new, you will definitely have a chair of the Energy Committee who is nowhere near as big an ally of the utilities as Eric Nesbitt is now. He's carrying the freight on this legislation there. There's a lot of fear among the utilities that Gary Glenn, the very conservative representative from Midland, who is a huge proponent of customer choice, would become the next chair of the Energy Committee. The utilities want no part of expanded choice. So there's a lot of time pressure on the utilities to get this done now.
If you just joined me, we're talking to Zach Gorchow of Gongwer News Services. We kind of look at what's on the to-do list in lame duck. Today is the official start of lame duck in Lansing. There's a lot of movement in the legislature, Zach, toward changing the retirement system for teachers in Michigan. So tell us about the overhaul the Republicans are pushing.
Well, there's not a lot of detail yet, but in broad summation, the Senate Republicans would like to end the hybrid pension system that new teachers participate in. So right now, if you're newly hired as a teacher, you get some pension benefit and you get some 401k benefit. That's been in place for 6, 7, 8 years now. They would like to see the partial pension benefit go away and instead be fully 401k. This wouldn't affect what current teachers get, but it would affect the new teachers. They feel like, the Republicans feel like this would address the unfunded liability issues in the system and so forth. The Democrats and others are preparing a big fight on this. And the governor is, sometimes he won't commit to something until it's on his desk, but he's made it pretty clear. He likes the existing system, and the concern his administration has voiced for years is that by going to a full 401k system, there would be a big upfront cost. The proponents of this legislation say that's simply not true. It doesn't look like they're ever going to agree on the numbers. We'll just have to see what happens. Then you've also got a potential big push on municipal employee retirement reform, perhaps most notably on the healthcare piece, healthcare for retired municipal employees. No one really knows exactly where that's headed, and everybody's being really mealy-mouthed, the House Republicans, the Senate Republicans, and the governor, about whether anything's going to happen. But it's one of those things around Lansing right now where everybody's talking about it, that it could happen. There may just not be enough time. If I had to guess, I think this will be more of a 2017 project, simply because they're at a standing start right now. But we will see.
There's a huge number of criminal justice bills kind of circling around, ready to land. Give us a rundown of some of the main ones.
Well, probably the biggest one is the presumptive parole legislation, so-called presumptive parole legislation, which basically says an inmate that reaches his or her minimum release date, in other words, you're sentenced to 20 to 30 years in prison, you hit that 20 years, that as long as the Department of Correction staff judges you as having a high likelihood of succeeding upon release, that you will be released. No more keeping you in until you're, 28, 30 years just because. So that is passed the House a long time ago. It's been sitting in the Senate. It's unclear what's going to happen there. You've got a bill that would say 17-year-olds can no longer be charged as adults. Basically, you got to be 18 to be charged as an adult.
Which is the case in so many states.
Right, right. You've got other legislation that would provide for a parole mechanism for medically frail prisoners. There's a lot of concern about the high medical cost to the state of dealing with people who've been sentenced to life in prison but are now 85, 90, 95 years old and have huge medical bills. And that's just a slice of it. There's a lot of big stuff there. Most of the key bills are pending on the Senate side. Unclear how that's going to turn out.
One of the bills that has cleared the Senate and is now before the House is Senate Bill 638 that really changes the way political donations can be made in Michigan. And isn't this bill cut from the same cloth as Citizens United, which a Bloomberg poll from a year ago found 78% of Americans hate that Supreme Court decision that opened the political spending tap?
Yeah, in essence, this is designed to codify the Citizens United ruling for state elections. So the Citizens United ruling that made clear that money is speech and authorized the super political action committees and really took most limits off of independent involvement in elections would be put into statute here. It really wouldn't change the way things have operated, but if you were to have down the road a U.S. Supreme Court decision that overturned Citizens United, you would then have Michigan law in place, ensuring that the provisions of Citizens United would continue on in the state of Michigan.
Marking day one of lame duck in 2016 as we talk to Zach Gorchow of Gangwer News Service. Zach, thanks so much.
Thank you.